Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM.
And when they tell you to raise your expectations, you know exactly where we are for this historic broadcast this wonderful weekend. We have raised our expectations indeed, and we are broadcasting live from the Tequila Factory at the glorious Casino del Sol Resort. Of course, out there on west of Valencia, they're oohing and aahing here. We're going to be feasting our eyes and our palates on Chef Carlos Aponte's majesty. He's going to have some great things for us to try. We've got all kinds of great specials. Happy hour has begun in full force, fellow foodies, now from 4 to 7. We have all kinds of drink specials. There's an all-you-can-eat seafood buffet. Build your own tacos. Build your own topopos. All the seafood you can possibly imagine for only $18. And house margaritas are only $3 during the broadcast and throughout happy hour. So get yourself down here to the Tequila Factory at the Casino del Sol Resort. Well, you know, as we bring around our celebrity co-hosts week in and week out, we try to align each co-host with the theme. And I thought, okay, well, you know, we're talking about tequila. We're talking about the beauty and the wonder of the agave plant. And there's one person in this community, I think, who knows more about tequila than anyone I've ever met in my life. In fact, he's former Tucson City Councilman, former vice mayor, fellow foodie, Fred Ronstadt is in the house.
Woo-hoo!
What's going on, brother?
Hey, Matt, thanks for having me.
You know, you haven't been on the show in a long time, and when I heard tequila, I said, we got to have Fred back.
Yeah, when I heard tequila, I thought to myself, I better be there. I better get the invite.
Well, you know, we're going to be doing a fun show today, Fred. We're going to be talking to Aaron DeFeo coming up here in a few minutes, the master mixologist here at the Casino del Sol. We're going to be doing a little tequila 101 session, kind of walking us through, you know, the Blancos and the Reposados and the Añejos. Yeah, and there's my lovely wife, Nancy, who's delivering me a house margarita. It's beautiful. And so is the cocktail. But I digress. 21 years of marriage, and I can still say that.
All right.
But anyway, so we're going to be doing a little tequila tasting.
Now, I think this is going to be very interesting because tequila is a mystery to a lot of people. And there's a lot of intricacies and charm, and people don't realize that it's grown as a beverage, as a delectable. And you can compare it to wines, and it has characters and notes and different things and how they make it. Really changes the character, so we're going to have a good time with that.
I love it. You know, I was looking around on YouTube before the show, and because I wanted to get a sense of the humidors that actually go out in the fields and harvest the agave.
Oh, man,
and I watched some of the footage of these these old guys just working and sweating, digging up those agave, and thinking, you know what, they're doing that for us.
Yes,
they have
are.
Us in mind when they're doing that.
Yeah.
So Fred, how did you I love bumping into you around town, seeing you at various restaurants and various bars, and it seems like I rarely see you with a beer, I rarely see you with a glass of wine, but you always seem to have just a remarkable tequila in your hand. What is it about this plant, this spirit that earned your loyalty over the years?
You know, I always say that tequila is like mother's milk. I grew up on it, and it's a family beverage. I think there's a lot of tradition and passion just within the family for it, both the Ronstadt family and the Montaño family, the Angulo family.
Beautiful.
All the generations that we've been here in southern Arizona and northern Sonora. And to me, it's just a beautiful, wonderful drink. It's the taste is just sweet to me. And now that there are so many different tequilas, and I know that here at the Tequila Factory they have lots of tequilas.
Lots.
There's always something new to try, and just the agave. And you talk about seeing the guys pulling up the agave plants. I was lucky enough to go down to Guadalajara. I went on the Tequila Express. We went to the Herradura factory.
Oh, beautiful.
And saw the videos there and saw how they bake the heart of the agave, the corazon, how the whole process. And we get to try, taste the various things. And it's to me, there are a lot of people passionate about wines, and they know vineyards and grapes and, where you get this and that. To me, Mexico, which is my heart, and my family's heart, this is our fruit and our beverage, and that's really what I'm passionate about.
It's poetry.
It is.
It's poetry. It's passion. It's history.
Yeah.
It's heritage.
And, you know, it's fun, too, because, you know, I tell people, if you want to know how good a tequila manufacturer is, try the Blanco, try the Silver, because that's, you know, that is right off the still. That comes, you know, from the still to the bottle to you. You know, that's where you get the true test of the skill of the tequila maker. But once you get to the Reposados, the Añejos, you're really talking about the craftsmanship of somebody, you know, the choice of the barrels, how long they age it, how they age it. That's when you really get the fun stuff and the character of these just beautiful drinks.
No, I love it. It's interesting that you say start with the Blanco, and I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's that. If you want to sort of taste the intention of the Jimadores and of the people that are harvesting, this is the place where the story begins.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where with the Blanco. Now, it's funny. You want to go back and rewind 25 years, you know, when you were in college.
Oh yeah.
I don't mean to date us here on live radio, but you know, we seem to sort of navigate ourselves away from the silvers. I mean, that was sort of considered the cheap stuff, and you know, but Cuervo Gold was like what we ascended to back in those days.
I know, and it's so interesting because the tequila that we're drinking now is so new in relative terms to, like, if you think about scotch or wines or bourbons or all that. I mean, those things have been going on forever. This development of the tequila that we're enjoying now, it's relatively a new thing. Because, you know, back then, you know, Cuervo Gold, which is, you know.
You can say it.
I don't
think that's one of the 138 no. tequilas they have here at the tequila
yeah,
factory.
Yeah, well, back then, that was like, you know, you're paying premiums to get Cuervo Gold. And now you look at it and like, holy mackerel.
Yeah, what was I thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
It was a question I asked myself all through college. But anyway, and it's funny you say when people talk about the profile differences in the beer world and in the wine world. I've been seeing some restaurants even go, you know, doing things like tequila dinners where they pair up a certain tequila with a certain food item. Do you find as you are, you know, enjoying a meal? I mean, certainly a tequila is a wonderful place to begin and end the evening. But do you find enjoying a neat tequila during your enjoying a meal, do you find that kind of enhances the flavor of what you're eating, or do you not even get into that?
You know, I do, and I know that people spend a lot of times in pairings because, you know, certain wines, certain grapes, certain beers, you know, the ingredients of the beer go with different types of meals. You know, the reality for me is that I whatever tequila I'm drinking, I'm enjoying, and you know, with the meal, doesn't matter to me really what it is. As long as the tequila is good, I'm happy.
That's great. So, you know, this is a food show. We love talking about food. I love breaking bread with you. You're one of the great guys in this community that truly appreciates an outstanding culinary experience. You know, he's got some great restaurants here in Southern Arizona that have really helped to put, you know, this state on the map.
Absolutely.
Culinary wise, what are you enjoying food wise on the streets?
You know, I got to tell you something, Matt. Since we're here at Casino del Sol, and the last time that you were here, and I got to visit George Jensen, our friend George was co-hosting with you, we had the most spectacular experience at PY Steakhouse.
Oh, didn't we?
Oh. And I think they deserve another couple seconds of your airtime.
There is no doubt about it.
Because it was just phenomenal. But, you know, something I've been enjoying lately is the food trucks.
I love it. Love it. You know, and again, you think of the food truck 10 years ago.
Oh, man.
Versus what it is,
you know,
now.
The Roach Coach.
Exactly. Now they're lining up, and they're kind of congregating around these, you know, microbreweries and around these places in the bars where people are going to be.
Yeah.
And you can go and sort of have an international escapade, culinary-wise, and just walk up to the side of a truck, for crying out loud.
And it's beautiful. The food is beautiful. The people who are making it are passionate about what they're doing, and that just enhances the experience. And the fact that you're sitting in a dirt lot, with a lot of other people having a great time, and it's just an experience, and the food's wonderful, and I think that's what I'm really, really enjoying right now, because they're random places. It's like, you know, phantom food, phantom restaurants. They appear one night, gone the next, and it's just a great experience.
And you'd be talking about it and yelping about it and Facebooking about it
for a
long time.
Exactly.
I'm glad you wanted to give props over to PY because, yeah, when we did our show out here a couple of months ago, we actually had a chance to go and have dinner there. And, you know, Kevin Brady and his entire culinary team at the PY Steakhouse, I think one of the most remarkable teams, really, in the Western United States.
Well, let me throw this in because longtime Tucson foodies, Southern Arizona foodies, who will remember the old tack room when Drew Vactor was running the tack room.
Absolutely.
And Richard Tyler, that experience at PY Steakhouse was almost on par, if not greater.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it.
Yeah.
And as I said on our Facebook page that evening, because I can't wait to talk about it to our Facebook audience, you know you're going to have an exceptional culinary experience when the first words out of your server's mouth are, welcome to the PY Steakhouse. I would like to talk to you about our featured salts for the evening.
Yeah.
I mean, that, she had me right there. You know, you always have me at salt, but we black truffle salt and Hawaiian salt and cave salt. And I'm telling you what, a steak, oh, it was just gorgeous.
Oh, it could not have been a better experience.
Anyway, so here we are at the Tequila Factory, our just destination for agave enthusiasts across southern Arizona, out here at the Casino del Sol out on West Valencia. We're having a great time. Our celebrity co-host for the full hour, Mr. Fred Ronstadt. Always a pleasure having you on the show.
Happy to be here.
So, you know, we you know a lot about tequila. I know a little bit about tequila. And I thought, you know, let's use this time on this show, since we're talking about tequila, to really go to the oracle of wisdom in this community, a man who has helped to resuscitate the craft mixologist the sort of profession here. He's one of our favorite guests. He's the master mixologist out here at the Casino del Sol. Aaron DeFeo is back. What's going on, man?
Not too much, guys. Thank you very much for having me on the program.
One of the busiest guys I know. And you know what? You get to show up at work every day and come to the Casino del Sol. How is that possible? I mean, that must be so much fun.
It's a blast, you know. And the casino and the tribe have been really supportive of everything I've been doing here for the last year. And we've really made some huge strides in terms of transforming the beverage program here. And I have to give props to my my beverage manager cohort, Jennifer Asprey. She's done a great job.
Wonderful.
Managing the staff and really getting everybody on the same page. So.
Yeah, last time you were on the show, we talked a little bit about some of these craft cocktails. We talked about kind of the spirit of the bourbon beverage, sort of the retro beverages. You know, what are we doing with rye and these kinds of things. But you know what? It's time to talk tequila, Aaron DeFeo. And you know, there's 130-plus tequilas gracing the shelves out here at the Tequila Factory. And you know, I could do what Fred Ronstadt does and sort of carry around like a little punch card and like work my way down from A to Z. But we thought we would come and ask you to kind of give us a tequila 101 session of sorts. Talk
sure,
a little
absolutely.
Bit about, you know, as we begin to look at the different kinds of tequilas and the aging process and what it does to the hue and to the color and to the tasting profile. What should we know as, let's just assume we're novices about tequila, about the beauty of this spirit, the differences in the tastes and the textures, really, and how we kind of work our way through the line?
Well, the first thing you should know is that there's essentially two different types of tequila, depending on where they're grown, the highland and lowland. So they're grown either in the Los Altos region, which is kind of the mountainous region, or they're grown down in the valleys. And the change in altitude also affects the temperature and the rainfall. And for the lowland tequilas, such as Herradura, Jose Cuervo, you're going to get a much earthier, grassier, vegetal type profile for the tequila. And on the highland end, in which you actually have some highland tequilas in front of you, it's something called De Leon, which is grown at the absolute highest altitude of any tequila or any agave that goes into tequila. The highland ones have minty, citrus, sweeter kind of pear, maybe apple notes to them.
Wow.
So you really taste the freshness, I think, of the agave much better in a highland tequila than you do in a lowland tequila. But really, it's a taste bud preference, and I think the jury's out, you know, as far as which one is better. I think they're different. And as far as cocktails are concerned, I always take into account what style of tequila I'm using. Also, the second thing to consider is whether it's double or triple distilled. A lot of tequilas are coming out now that are triple distilled, which means they're going to have a little bit less of that raw flavor, but they might be a little bit more refined and maybe what people might call smooth.
Right.
The extra distillation takes a little bit of those rougher edges off of the tequila.
Now, Fred, are you you're a tequila enthusiast? Have you found yourself kind of gravitating more towards the highlands or the lowlands? I mean, this is an interesting lesson. We're
getting. No, I haven't. I enjoyed a different range of tequilas. But the one thing I've been enamored with in the last 6 months are single estate tequilas.
Absolutely.
And Tequila Ocho is the one that comes to mind. And for some reason, it's just they're really caramely and, very, very smooth.
Well, I think the truth of the matter is that because of the production costs, so many tequilas source their agave from so many different places and kind of blend it all together to get a consistent product. But one of the things Tequila Ocho does that's such an amazing feat is they actually not only do single estate, but they do regionally within that estate. And sometimes every bottling is different from a different portion of that estate. And sometimes portions of the estate are higher or lower or in a different type of soil type. And, you know, those make a big difference. And I, as well, am a huge fan of the Tequila Ocho line.
That's beautiful. It's really nice.
We're talking to Aaron DeFeo, the master mixologist out here at the Casino del Sol Resort, and having a great time out here for our live broadcast at the Tequila Factory out here at the Casino del Sol, all the way out on West Valencia Road, having a great time. Remember, happy hour is in full force, and we are broadcasting sink deep in the heart of happy hour right now, going up till 7 o'clock. All kinds of great food and drink specials. And tonight, fellow foodies, you're going to be able to feast on an all-you-can-eat seafood buffet. And when I say buffet, that is not a, you know, that is a tall order to think of the kinds of things that chef can get in this, baby. But there's every seafood you can imagine. Build your own tacos. Build your own tapopos. Only $18 for this buffet. And, of course, the house margarita, which I'm enjoying, is only $3 while you're out here tonight. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to come back with Aaron DeFeo. We're going to be trying some of these tequilas, and hopefully you'll be able to join us here for the second part of the show, because Chef Carlos Aponte is going to be coming out here, and he's going to be giving you an opportunity to call in and get a gift card to try Tequila Factory for yourself. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to On the Menu Live, KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. It's On the Menu, live with Matt Russell on KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happy hour at the Tequila Factory at the Casino del Sol Resort, having a great time here on West Valencia, mixing it up with our celebrity co-host Fred Ronstadt.
Woo-hoo!
Who has shown remarkable restraint, by the way.
I mean, yes, I have.
He's staring down the barrel of some gorgeous tequila. And speaking of gorgeous and tequila all at the same time, what a great segue. We're welcoming back Aaron DeFeo here, man. Sorry to make you blush on live radio.
I wouldn't use that term.
That's my boy. Anyway, so we've got a little history lesson on the highlands, on the lowlands, on the different the kinds of harvesting, and really about what this agave is all about. We talked a little bit about, you know, the silvers and the reposados, the blancos, and the añejos, but now we want to kind of treat our palates, as it were, to the differences. So I would imagine that as we're going to be sort of working our way through this tasting, we should probably start with the blanco.
Absolutely.
Okay.
You should always do that. And I mean, this is the blanco is the pure expression of the agave distillate. Whenever you put something in a barrel, you're bound to change it. Sometimes up to 60% of that taste profile changes through the barrel aging, especially in the añejo tequila when you get to that range. But here we've got a gorgeous blanco. It's de Leon. It's a highland tequila. It's from the absolute highest altitude that any agave is harvested or grown at. So you should be getting a lot of really bright, concentrated. I mean, I would use the term concentrated for this particular tequila because I get so much rich flavor from it. I get that pure agave flavor. I get a little biting citrus and a tiny bit of mint. Maybe, again, like I said, the pear and the apple are so prevalent in these highland tequilas. But, you know, there's also a little bit of herbal kind of the mint. Transforms into a little bit of herbal. It's not quite the lowland grassy type herbal. It's a little bit more, you know, things like basil and mint and maybe a little bit of tarragon if you smell really, really deep.
I love it. Okay, now before I taste it, I saw a guy once, you know, as he was to smell the bouquet, almost like you would do with a fine wine.
Sure.
He actually opened his mouth as he inhaled like that. He says if you close your mouth and you inhale, you're only getting half of the full experience. Do you buy that?
Well, absolutely. The more you can take in, you know, through all of your different olfactory senses. I mean, your nose.
That's a big word, Aaron.
Your nose
that's
is.
That's a big word you just used. We're drinking tequila and we're using words like olfactory. I love it because we're at the tequila olfactory.
some might call it that.
It's all about branding in this business, isn't it? All right, so I'm going to try some of this stuff.
Oh, well, I've already tried it. This is excellent. It's nice and smooth. I tasted the fruit.
Yes.
The little herbal on the back end. Very, very nice.
And when we talk about aging, there's no aging on this at all.
No,
this is straight out.
Yeah, this is rested in stainless steel for, you know, a couple months, maybe a month before they go ahead and bottle it. It just depends on their production process and how quickly they're going. Sometimes resting the spirit directly after the distillation, even in stainless steel, can help all of the flavors kind of commingle. And really blow off some of those extra esters that come through the distilling process. And
gorgeous.
I think as you taste this particular product, you know, they don't, the reposado is not overdone. I think one of the things that really gets me is when somebody, because you can age a reposado from 2 to 11 months, well, actually more like 364 days. So an añejo starts at 365 days. So
wow.
If you age something to 364, what's the real difference between that one day? You know,
you could tell, though. If anyone could tell,
I can tell. But I would say that really it's kind of defying the spirit of the reposado. The reposado means rested. It's supposed to only be in there for a short amount of time to smooth it out. But when you get some of those reposados that go for a year, you can't make drinks with them. They're more for sipping. They're not for making margaritas, whereas a good, you know, a really light reposado can be a great margarita.
But now, let me ask you this. This silver that we just had, would it be criminal to suggest that this is going to be the base of something like, I mean, it almost seems like a disservice to the spirit to actually put I mean, I love fresh lime juice, love a little agave nectar, but with this De Leon?
It would make a fantastic margarita, but keep in mind that the price of this particular tequila might be a consideration.
Well, I have a real heartburn issue with that, with what Matt was talking about, because I think a good tequila, you should just put it in a glass, bring it to me, don't mess with it.
No salt,
no lime.
It's just criminal.
Exactly.
Well, and another thing, and speaking of good tequila, one thing you won't find here at the Tequila Factory is any mixto tequilas. And mixtos are, of course, the tequilas that are 51% blue agave and 49% grain neutral spirit. Things like, you know, the thing you find in the well at most bars, that
right,
Montezuma,
right.
Or it's got some sort of a, you know, Pepe Lopez.
No bueno.
Sort of,
yeah. No bueno.
Nothing like that.
100%, but, yeah, 100% blue agave.
100% blue agave on every tequila we carry here.
Okay, so this was a wonderful place to treat our palates. This wonderful, this Blanco de Leon, I think you said?
Absolutely.
Gorgeous tequila. Okay, so where are we going next?
This is the Reposado. They don't, like I said, they don't overdo the aging on this one.
Still the de Leon.
Still the de Leon.
Okay.
This is a vertical of the de Leon.
Okay.
So
what happens then when you're moving from the Blanco up to the Reposado? This is your how much longer are you aging these? Are they aging
basically from 2 to 11 months in oak? And usually the oak that's used is generally American used bourbon barrel, because America goes through a ton of bourbon. They can't reuse the barrels, so they got to sell them to somebody. And the tequila companies are more than willing to take those barrels and bring them down. And then sometimes occasionally you'll see tequilas get aged in French oak, which is one of the really great things that a tequila manufacturer can do is aged in French oak, because the two yield completely different taste profiles.
And the oak is coming through not only on the color, because you can see it's starting to get a little bit more of that hue, that golden hue, but
yep.
Really on the palate, Fred, a little more rich, a little bit more mellow.
Yeah, I think it tastes a little bit thicker as well.
Yeah,
it had some body to it.
Yeah, exactly. The texture. I mean, we're talking about the differences in texture. People say it's just liquid, but no, it really comes out in this in this Reposado.
Yeah, definitely the concentration, the extraction from the barrel helps that mouthfeel from the Blanco to the Reposado, and even more so to the Añejo. But you start to unlock some of those really key aged tequila tones, like honey. Honey is something you don't get out of a Blanco tequila, but once you get into the Reposado range, if you can just get it just right, you get a little bit of that honey essence. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I just put my nose into the Añejo, which I do on a regular basis, just as long as you know. You know what? The first thing that came out before I even began to taste, I'm getting caramel.
Absolutely.
I'm getting caramel from this.
That's, you know, and that's that extra time that's in that charred barrel, the charred oak barrel. And this particular
one, I believe, is
2 years aged.
Oh,
and
is that not good? 2 years.
Yeah.
2 years in the oak.
Yeah.
Starting again with that Blanco de Leon, that crisp, light, refreshing, kind of sassy tequila. It really has come out and it's developed these almost dessert qualities. Rich, gorgeous, amber, a little honey. A little caramel, you know. Fred, you like this?
Oh, this is gorgeous.
And I think when you start off with something like De Leon, you can still taste the agave in that.
Exactly.
In that final one. And that's the real pratfall that a lot of producers end up in, is that they put out a product that does not taste like tequila anymore. It tastes like cognac, or it tastes like some sort of fine bourbon or some other aged spirit. And really, you know, you should always be looking and seeking to have that agave still, you know, shine
well,
through.
That's why you
another.
Drink tequila.
Absolutely. Yes.
Exactly right.
It's agave.
Well,
and
if you
want
something else, go drink cognac.
So when you're in the bar, you want to make sure that this is a 100% blue agave to get that sort of De Feo experience that Aaron talked about, moving from the Blanco to the Reposado to the Añejo. Fascinating journey that we've just taken. This has been remarkable. Now, we have 1 minute left before we go to a news break. Talk about this house margarita, because they're only $3, and I had to shake my head thinking, this tastes too good to be a house margarita.
Well, we do everything fresh here, as we do everywhere in the casino. All of our citrus juice is squeezed fresh daily. The gals that are bartending back there went back and squeezed it by hand about an hour and a half ago. We only use the best agave nectar on the market, something called Ojillo, which is a kind of uncooked agave, or it's very lightly cooked, so it actually comes out clear. Unlike most commercial agave nectars, the fructose level on the agave nectar is very low, so this is very healthy for you, as opposed to some other ones there's been some talk about agave nectar not being so healthy lately, and this one actually fits that healthy profile. Fresh lime, agave nectar, And we use only premium tequila. I believe what you're drinking right now is Corralejo Blanco, which is a fantastic
that
product out of Guanajuato.
Corralejo Blanco, it absolutely fits the tea. This is a beautiful margarita. House margarita, only $3 tonight. We are broadcasting live from the Tequila Factory at the Casino del Sol over here on West Valencia. We're shaking it up here with Aaron DeFeo and Fred Ronstadt. Aaron, always a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very
always
much,
so
Matt.
Much fun.
I thank you for having me.
We're
going
to take a quick Fox News break, and we're going to thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're talking to Chef Carlos Aponte. You don't want to go away. Be right back.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. It's On the Menu, live with Matt Russell on KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happy hour at the Tequila Factory at Casino del Sol, of course, out there on West Valencia Road. And when you come into that off the off Valencia and you kind of hang south under that beautiful archway and you sort of pull up, you can feel that energy, you can feel that vibe, you can almost feel the spirit of the agave calling your name. And that, when does the agave not call your name? My goodness.
Very rarely.
Anyway, we're having a great time here. $3 house margaritas, $18 for all you can eat masterpiece seafood buffet. Build your own tacos, build your own topopos. Every kind of seafood you can possibly imagine is being put out in full majesty by Chef Carlos Aponte here at the Tequila Factory. We're having a great time. Had some great tequilas.
Oh, man, and this is the flight that Aaron brought out was just so perfect. I mean, you really got to sense the beginning, the middle, and the end. I mean, the craft and how it works.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Just beautiful.
I loved it. Anyway, so if you missed any part of this show, fellow foodies, I want to remind you that all of our shows are available by podcast. You can download them straight from our website, www.onthemenulive.com. In fact, if you're traveling and you don't have any way to dial in KNST on your radio, we stream live on onthemenulive.com each and every Saturday at 4 o'clock. Also, we want to remind you to join our large and growing fan base on Facebook. Of course, On The Menu Live on Facebook and On The Menu Live on Twitter. All the action. We're going to be telling you exactly where we're going to be broadcasting from, what kind of great restaurants are doing crazy things like Tequila Factory, doing wonderful things in the kitchen. This is just an extraordinary place to be. Anyway, so Fred, we're here at this place called the Tequila Factory, and certainly north of 130 tequilas are gracing the shelves.
I want the punch card.
You got to do.
You got to start going in this.
But you come here, and when you think about it's family traditions and family legacies that has sort of inspired bringing together a menu that I think, when you take a look at sort of, you know, quote, Mexican restaurants, I mean, I think the Tequila Factory has done something remarkable because they've sort of helped redefine what sort of authentic means with sort of this modern-day twist. Have you ever eaten here before? This is a...
I got to tell you something. You hit the nail on the head. This is about passion. It's about family. You know, Mexican food is about the family. And when you bring the passion to this restaurant, it just... It explodes.
I love it. Well, you know, passion is manifest right here on the table, and we are honored to have with us not only Chef Carlos Aponte, who we're going to be talking to at length here in the second half of the show, but we are honored to have the general manager of the entire operation here, Tony Davis. What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Thanks for having us.
Well, you know, thank you for hosting. You know, they just keep bringing things out of the kitchen, and that's why I love my job. Let me just
Great job.
Anyway, so Tony Davis, how long has the Tequila Factory been out here at the Casino?
We've been here since 2003.
A little closer?
2003 we opened up.
Okay, so a tall order to open up kind of a southwestern Mexican-style, you know, restaurant in what I think is the hub, you know, worldwide for this. What is it that you sort of wanted to do with this restaurant to show people that you have what it takes and you are taking this this project very seriously?
The main thing is the consistency of the food, the flavors, and great service is what we're hoping to strive for. And other words, a great place to come and eat, and great drinks, great tequila, great service. Like you said, goes back to the family, and we try to treat our team like a family and all of our customers like a family.
I love it. And it is almost like a big family because I feel like I'm sitting in a living room right now. So we're right outside of the Tequila Factory, and I'm a pitch wedge away from the Wheel of Fortune slot. And as a matter of fact, I think my wife is over there. Yeah, I'm over here, Nancy. Anyway, you know, I mean, you just have this, you're just surrounded. You've got this surround sound, entertainment, authentic food, wonderful drinks, happening happy hour. Tequila Factory really is the place to be.
It is. Definitely is. And like I said, with a little more advertising and everything, let people know that we're out here. We're definitely on the far west side of town. But once people realize that all the selections that we have, it's a great place to come, great food, great family, fun, and everything.
Well, the 18.2 million listeners that we have right now, they're going to be lining up. I hope you put extra staff on tonight, Tony, because you know the Tequila Factory is going to be rocking tonight. Anyway, great. Thanks for hosting such a great party out here. We're loving it.
Great, thank you.
We're honored to have, you know, I think the man that is really the centerpiece of what we're talking about from a culinary perspective. You know, these family traditions, family legacies, and done with kind of a unique twist to sort of give people an opportunity to taste sort of Mexican food the way that I don't think they ever have. And it's a privilege, chef, to have you here. Carlos Aponte, welcome to the show.
Thank you. The pleasure's all mine.
Man.
Like we say over here, we like to have it, you know, every day out here is extraordinary. So it's you come down and you can get some of this family food, as we were talking about. Like some of these recipes go back in my mom's side of the family for generations. And we do have a lot of dishes that are eaten by Mexican families, but you don't necessarily see out on a menu in town. But they're cooked in everyday households around across the city. But
so now, have you been here since day one? I mean, what's your story? I mean, have you sort of began peeling potatoes somewhere and then moved your way up to executive chef out here?
Yeah, I grew up here in Tucson. My dad was in the Air Force. I was born in the Air Force base here, and both my parents worked, and I used to learn cooking from my older sister and from my mom, and started preparing meals for my family because everybody was working, and I'd get home from soccer practice and start cooking at home. But as I went into college and was doing different changing majors and whatnot, I always fell into the love of cooking and fell back on that and kind of heading my direction that way, and did some apprenticeships under some great chefs from coast to coast and worked in a lot of different cities from L.A. to New York.
I love when you say love, because you don't use that word lightly. I mean, when you say your love of cooking, and I think at the Tequila Factory, it really, I mean, the love comes through. I mean, I think that's sort of mystical in a way, but you can tell if a chef has a passion for the cuisine as a customer, as a guest.
Right.
You can tell when there's no love there. Here at the Tequila Factory, it's all about love, and I absolutely love everything you've done in the kitchen.
Right. We all have a lot of pride, from all the cooks to all the everybody serving the food and everything here. We have a lot of pride in what we're doing, and if it's not 100% right, we're not going to send it out to your table. And if there's anything wrong, we're always going to take care of it right away. But there is a lot of twists and unique things on our menu that we do some kind of, like you said, modern twists on some classical dishes. And it really brings out the flavors of the Southwest.
And, you know, you brought out quite a few flavors of the Southwest for us to try. But before we begin to treat our palates to your majesty, if I may, describe the menu for our listeners, you know, especially those folks who have never been to the Tequila Factory before. Help them understand the kind of experience they're going to get when they come in, when they think they're going to a Mexican restaurant and you say, oh, no, you know, this is a sort of a different approach. Talk about your menu in general.
Our menu, we do have, you know, some of your more traditional style Mexican food and combination plates where you have tacos and your rice and beans and things like that. But we also have, like I said, some of the ones that you wouldn't see on other menus, like tacos de chicharrones or tacos de tripas de leche or carnitas. So, but we also have some more modern twists on things like our cilantro rice and some of our poblano au gratin potatoes. And we also bring a lot of twists on things. So like our barbecue pork ribs are made with a prickly pear barbecue sauce.
Nice.
And we have some other dishes too, like a little bit more of a fine dining, like in our signature dishes, where we kind of step it up a little bit and bring you some fine dining dishes, but at a great price, very low price, where you feel like you're actually eating them more than a Mexican restaurant, because a lot of Mexican restaurants aren't really considered fine dining, but
that's true.
We have that cutting edge on it.
That's true. So if you really got a foodie coming out here, I mean, you've got you're going to please everybody that comes into the Tequila Factory. But if you've got a foodie that's coming in here with a discriminating palate, you know, with high expectations. In fact, I think we've all raised our expectations since we've been here. Isn't that what you say? I mean, I feel like my expectations are being raised just by being here.
Oh, definitely. That's what
so
we do.
So for foodies, you're going to give them an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, in fact, I had some guests just last week that they fly around the country and take vacations to different spots and try different restaurants out. And they tried us out just because they were here at the hotel. And it was better than the restaurants they flew out to Arizona just to try.
Oh, man.
And they were here three nights in a row after that.
I love it. Three nights in a row. You know what? And you can stay right here at the resort.
That's
because
right.
You got a beautiful, I think an unparalleled resort right here on the grounds. Come in here, have a wonderful meal, go see a show at AVA, you know, play, do some gaming, spend lots of money, you know, hopefully win some, and then just go crash for a weekend. What a great place.
Oh, it's awesome. They actually canceled their reservations at another resort just to extend their stay here. So.
A resort that shall remain nameless.
Exactly.
anyway, so why don't we begin to do a little tasting here? And frankly, you know, you brought out a bounty of goodness for us to try. You know, and I haven't eaten in about 3 weeks. So I want to know of all the wonderful things that you brought out for us to try. What would you suggest? Where should we start?
I just start over here with what I brought out for a little sample from Abuelita's, our little taqueria on the side of Tequila Factory.
Okay, so the Abuelita's is literally, it's a part of the Tequila Factory, little taqueria. It's got a little counter service right next door.
Right, exactly. And their hours have more of extended hours for late night guests that are out here gambling and want to stay a little later on when the restaurant is closed. And they're also open for lunch. But it's like going to a street side taqueria if you're in Mexico. And we have, these are our carnita tacos. These are made from pork.
And you know what? The first thing before I haven't even taken a bite. The first thing I noticed as I was beginning to pick these up is you hear street tacos, and you know that's 99% tortilla, and you might have to sort of look around for some protein. I mean, there's some heft to these tacos. There's actually pork in these things. All right, so I'm going to take a bite of these. So talk about the preparation of this pork. Is it smoked? Is it?
It's a slow roasted pork. It actually takes hours to make this dish. We actually roast it at about 300 degrees for 4 hours. And seasoned with one of my Southwest spices. And after it's roasted, we let the meat rest and cool off in the refrigerator. And then it's broken down, and we dice the meat up. And then it goes back into what we call a Swiss skillet, or you would saute it at home in a saute pan with the pork fat that's rendered off for the roast when it's cooked. And then you are adding onions and cilantro and lime juice to it.
Thank you for maximizing the pork fat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's part of the experience. So the pork is amazingly tender. I mean, there's almost a butter quality to it. It's you know, it's a little bit rich. It's got that roast flavor, so you know you're not just skipping around in a microwave.
Right.
This is time that it takes to do this, and that's the thing that I'm fascinated by. You know, in today's sort of fast-paced culture, you want to say, you know, slow down,
exactly.
Enjoy yourself, enjoy the meal. Think about the chef and the culinary team that put it together. Think about the humidors out there harvesting the agave. Think about the time and the legacy and the family that worked towards this. But you brought out this pork, beautifully tender, buttery. I mean, just gorgeous.
It's well spiced. It is perfect. Absolutely
beautiful.
Perfect.
So this is from Abuelitas. Which is grandmother's, is that?
Yeah. Exactly.
Sweet little grandma.
Sweet little grandma. Of course. Anyway, this is
like
a beautiful taco.
House.
I mean, that's a meal in and of itself. And when you get, is that authentic? You get three of these on a plate?
Well, on a combo plate, you would get three of those with rice and beans, and we're going to be selling those for $8. And what we have
that entire plate is $8.
Yeah, we have
that's a deal.
Seven different meats on our menu at Abuelitas, and they're all, like you said, they're slow roasted. So the meats are ready cooked, ready to serve. So all we're doing is heating up the tortillas and stuffing your tacos. So it's like, you know, grandma cooked it all day, but it's going to come out real fast. It's something, a quick bite for while you're here at the casino. You can stop by and grab some tacos.
For only $8.
Right, and the tacos started $1.50 a piece. $2 for the carne asada.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
We got cabeza, lengua. We got, the carnitas and birria.
Gorgeous tacos at Abuelitas. They're open pretty much the entire time the casino's open, right? Did you say? I mean,
we're open 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. and on weekends till 2 a.m. So we're
I can have these at like 1:30 in the morning.
Exactly.
Up to 1:59.
Celebrating my winnings.
Exactly.
All right, great. Outstanding on the tacos. Where are we going next?
Next over here, we got on the side table. We couldn't fit it all on the table here.
Yeah,
we just brought
too
much food out. But we have the chicken Arizona is one of the most popular new dishes on our menu. And it's a marinated grilled chicken breast with roasted poblano chili.
That's beautiful.
Tomato.
Oh, my goodness.
Avocado and melted pepper jack cheese.
Goodness.
And that comes with the elote sauce, which is made from sauteed onions and garlic with green chilies and corn. And then add a little bit of heavy cream to that and reduce it and blend it up. So there's actually a flourless dish. So if anybody's got a gluten allergy, they can come out and enjoy it and not worry about the flour or any gluten allergies with it.
Okay, talk to me about this sauce. Because, you know, when you bring this plate over, the first impression is this is a cornucopia of color. I mean, it's this bright ruby red tomato and these, you know, is that a polenta in there that I see?
It's a poblano pepper. Oh, the sauce itself is made from, like I said, blended whole corn and onions, garlic, and green chilies.
Bright yellow, bright green, bright red. I mean, this is a feast for the eyes as well as the palate. But this is, and what's the name of this dish?
This is the chicken Arizona.
Chicken Arizona, Fred Ronstadt. I mean, I guess.
Well, you're hogging it all. I haven't had a bite yet.
And it comes with calabacitas and Spanish rice. So it's The calabacitas, too, are something that's always been eaten at my house as a side dish for vegetables.
We take great pride in the family growing our own. You can't get a good Mexican calabacita.
And what is calabacita for the novices in our listenership?
It's Spanish for squash. So it could be a variation of yellow squash, zucchini, or a traditional Mexican calabacita, which is kind of a lighter green than a zucchini.
So this beautiful chicken, tender, moist, got a little bit of that char on the end, with that creaminess of that corn preparation. And what's the green? Is that
avocado and the roasted poblano.
Roasted poblano and sort of a rich cream corn with a beautiful tender chicken. I've rendered Fred Ronstadt speechless, which, chef, is not an easy thing to do.
Well, that's good. I'm always happy to stop by the tables, and when I'm walking by to ask how things are going, they just put a thumbs up because they're still enjoying the food so much that I wanted to stop to talk.
That's a beautiful meal. It's a very generous portion. Again, everything is about feast here. So we want you to be a feast on your eyes, a feast on your palate, certainly a feast on your soul, and knowing about the legacy, the family traditions here, mm-hmm. the Apuca family that allowed us to give us this gift to be able to appreciate this. I think that's really where the treasure is.
Yeah, it's just generations of on my mom's side of learning recipes that go back a long ways too. So.
Absolutely beautiful.
That's only a $10 plate, too, over here at Tequila.
I don't believe that for a moment. Yeah. You're only saying that because we're on the radio.
That's $10.
And now that's why everyone seems to be coming over here to the restaurant. Anyway, $10?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, Tony Davis is bringing over something he obviously wants us to try, and I see bacon, Chef Carlos Aponte.
Everything's better with bacon. This
Amen,
is our
brother.
Camarón Rellenos, which is a stuffed shrimp, and it's wrapped with bacon. It's stuffed with a casero cheese, roasted poblanos, and wrapped in bacon and fired in our Rationale oven to get the bacon nice and crispy.
You got a Rationale oven out here.
Oh, yeah.
We love Rationale. Everything they're all about. It's really made your job a little easier, right? I mean, it's a destination product.
If I could afford to have one at home, I would.
Okay, now, if you weren't sitting here, mm-hmm. I would probably pick up this entire camarone, which is lovingly wrapped with bacon, stuffed with that wonderful cheese, with this great
ranchero sauce.
I would do this with my fingers, and I would put the entire thing in my mouth. Is that acceptable?
Oh, that's fine.
Have I violated protocol?
No, that's like, it's like a sushi place. They put the whole, they cut it so it's one bite per.
This is a.
It's good stuff, isn't it?
One of my favorites.
It's absolutely unbelievable.
It is wonderful.
And this is why Tony Davis brought it over.
It comes with the calabacitas and our cilantro rice, too. It's a really good sauce.
This is
kind of
$19.95? What is this?
Yeah, it's $19.
$19. I nailed it. Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to do a little bit more tasting. But you, Chef Carlos Aponte, want to give one of our listeners a chance, I still have food in my mouth, it's my radio, a chance to win a gift card to really experience this Aponte story, this wonderful culinary experience for themselves, if they know the answer to the trivia question. And so I thank you for providing that opportunity to one of our listeners. What is the trivia question for the week? The
trivia question this week is, if some guests can answer this, they'll win this prize. And I just want to know if anybody out there knows what meat we use on our mole braised short ribs.
Okay, what kind of meat is used in the mole braised short ribs? I want to see some callers now. If you think you know the answer to the question, call us right now at 880-KNST, 880-5678 for a chance to win a Tequila Factory gift card. Again, what kind of meat is used in the mole braised short ribs? Good luck. Start calling, folks. We'll be right back.
Guy has the big bite. He has the dainty bite. It's on the menu, live with Matt Russell on KNST AM 790 and now 97.1 FM.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. This is Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of Happy Hour at the Tequila Factory out at the beautiful, stunning, glorious Casino del Sol. We have raised our expectations, and they've all been met in spades because there's bacon and there's shrimp. And there's gorgeous chicken Arizona, and there's wonderful carnitas tacos, and there's Tony Davis, and there's Carlos Aponte. I can't stand it anymore, Fred.
Well, you didn't try any of the short ribs during the break. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm ready to dive in head first, but, we want to, before we begin to do the rest of our tasting, we want to give a chance to give a gift certificate to the Tequila Factory to any of our listeners who want to call in and win a gift card. And the question is, what kind of meat, did we say meat?
Meat.
What kind of meat do they use for their mole braised short rib? And I think we've got Sam on line one. Hey, Sam, what's the answer?
I believe the correct answer is beef. It's what's for dinner.
Okay, beef. Okay, well, yeah.
On the right track, but it's not beef.
Okay,
come on, it's beef.
Okay, so it might. I mean, it's meat, right?
It's meat, yeah.
And there's a lot. Hey, Sam. There's a number of animals that source that meat. But anyway,
it does have four legs.
It does have four legs. But anyway, you can't do it. You got to call back if you want to do it. Anyway, that opens up a line at 880-KNSD, 880-5678. What kind of meat do they use for their mole braised short rib out here at the Tequila Factory? I'm going to wait to hear from our board operator if we have someone else on the line. Anyway, we got Miguel. Hey, Miguel, welcome to On the Menu Live. What's your answer?
Pork.
He says pork.
No, it's not pork.
It's not pork either. Anyway, thank you so much, Miguel. That opens up a line, 880-KNST, 880-5678, for a chance to win a gift card here to the Tequila Factory. Fred, do you think you know the answer to this question?
My answer is tasty.
It's tasty. Well, you know, I'm running my mouth, so you got to, like, put something in it, you know, in the rare times that you have that opportunity. But anyway, what kind of meat do they use on these mole brave short ribs? And anyway, Kathleen thinks she knows to the answer. Kathleen, what's your answer?
Yes, I believe it's buffalo.
Kathleen says it is buffalo.
She's correct, Chef Carlos Aponte. Kathleen, congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, my goodness. So I don't know if you've ever had buffalo or if you've
I
ever,
have. Yes, I have.
If you ever been out to the Tequila Factory at Casino del Sol?
No, but it sounds fantastic.
Oh, yeah, you need to come.
Especially the shrimp with the bacon. Oh, my gosh.
Kathleen, you have no idea, girlfriend. Okay, let me tell you something. I don't want you to hang up because our board operator is going to get all your information, and it's going to be Tony Davis's and Chef Carlos Aponte's privilege to send you a gift card, and you're going to experience the Tequila Factory for yourself. But you know what? When you come in here, ask for the chef and ask for Tony by name. Let him know you're the one that heard them on the radio, and you're going to have a remarkable experience. Congratulations.
Thanks so much.
Anyway, so buffalo, are you kidding me?
No, it's great. In fact, the only complaint about it is it tastes like beef, but I don't know if that's much of a complaint.
It's a good thing it doesn't taste like chicken. So, Fred, have you had this?
Yes, I have.
Is this what we're talking about, Chef?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
it is.
So this is buffalo.
So you see it's the big hunk that I took off the end there?
You shouldn't even need to use that knife.
You know, I was going to say, why bother? Why do you even have knives?
You
save yourself some money,
that's
Tony
great.
Davis. Okay, so why buffalo, Chef?
Well, I wanted to bring some more game to the menu out here at the Tequila Factory, you know, some more traditional meats that might have been eaten, you know, maybe not in this area, but, you know, by Indians and other tribes and stuff. But we're also in the fall going to be bringing out some venison and rabbit, actually, to the menu. You're going to be doing a carrot mole braised rabbit with a white chocolate mole.
Oh, my gosh.
Along with some duck also.
Yeah. Some duck. I can't. I got to go in on another round of this buffalo.
Yeah, isn't that tasty?
It's pulling right apart, almost like a pork shoulder that's been sitting in the smoker for 18 hours. I mean, it's like candy. It's just literally pulling right apart.
It's actually been braised in the oven, like we were talking about slow cooking earlier. It's braised for 4 hours in all the vegetables and chilies and everything that the mole sauce is made from. And then I use all that and the stock from the meat braising to make the mole sauce.
And the mole sauce, I think you've nailed, because sometimes...
Oh, it's perfect.
Sometimes people get a little crazy with their mole, and they, you know, it's a little too much cocoa, a little too much peanut, a little too much spice. There's this wonderful symphony of flavors that it's just a perfect balance.
Right. I like to think of flavors as an... almost like a roller coaster ride where nothing's over dominating. You get one flavor, it kind of drops off, and then another flavor comes in and brings you back.
Yeah, but you know, this enhances the buffalo. It really does.
Perfect.
You're absolutely right.
It's Fred.
Because a lot of moles, they just overwhelm. But this really just enhances the meat.
Okay, so we got time to taste one more thing. I know we've got 19.
Well, someone asked about pork. We got the
I like pork, Chef.
Barbecue ribs.
I like pork.
We also have the beef steak, which is our grilled top sirloin.
Okay, so these are pork ribs.
Yeah,
okay,
this is a pork rib.
These are baby backs. These are baby backs. Okay.
And that's with our prickly pear barbecue sauce,
beautiful.
Charro beans.
Beautiful.
And then,
size on this.
The coleslaw is actually made with cabbage, jicama, and fresh fried tortilla strips and toasted pumpkin seeds.
I mean, again, you don't need the knife. Why do you
need
to bring it over?
You don't need a knife at all. You can pull the bone out of
them. It's just falling right off the bone. Tender. It's gorgeous. You get a little bit of that bark on the outside. Yep. The beautiful tenderness. I'm going to try this pork rib.
I got to tell you, this steak, what is this reduction?
It's a demi-glaze. So it's an ancho chili demi-glaze. That sauce actually takes 3 days to make. You start off making stock, and then you reduce the veal stock for a day to create a demi-glaze. And then I take that again and saute garlic and onions and chilies, ancho chilies, and then reduce the demi-glaze a little bit more.
So we got about another minute remaining. You just nailed these ribs, man. You have nailed them. And I know ribs. I know ribs. Travel the country, have a rib chef. Some of the best ribs I think I've ever had in the Grand Canyon State. That's glorious.
Very popular dish here.
45 seconds remaining. Hours of operation. How can people find out more about you, get a sense of your menu? Hit us.
Oh, just check us out over here online. Check out the menu from Tequila Factory online. And come down to the restaurant. You can meet me, and we can talk food. If you're a foodie, I love to talk about it. I can let you in on the way some of the things are prepared, and you can try making them at home.
That's great. So CasinoDelSol.com.
Everyday extraordinary.
It's that easy. Chef Carlos Aponte and Tony Davis for the Tequila Factory. What a party. Thank you both for hosting. This has been a lot of fun.
Great. Thank you.
Fred Ronstadt, as always, my brother. Have a great time. Let's go have a cigar and a cocktail. What do you say?
Absolutely.
If you missed any part of the show whatsoever, you can always check it out starting next week at www.onthemenulive.com. In the meantime, this is Matt Russell on The Menu Live, KNST AM 790 and now 97.1. Cheers.